This is the public comment section. I understand Mr. Mike Jewett would like to be heard by the commission. Mr. Jewett.
Thank you.
Please proceed.
My name is Mike Jewett. I came here more or less. I live at 235 North Lawson Road in Pocosin. I think everyone.
Raise your right hand. I think you will give factual testimony today. I think it needs to be sworn. Do you solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Proceed, sir.
Okay. I came here today for a number of reasons. I had an address, and I'm going to make it extremely brief because I feel that it may, in light of the fact that you've had a meeting and other people are here to speak, that it may have been too much and counterproductive. Two things. Number one, I apologize for not getting my engineering here until today. He didn't write it until last night. I've been harassing him for months, and I got it to you as fast as it got to me. Secondly, I took down the finger piers on my dock. The reason I took the finger piers down is because I put them up after I got a stop work order. I firmly believe that if I had not, I should have been entitled to an after-the-fact hearing. But I did it defiantly. It was wrong, and I've taken them down.
When were they taken down, Mr. Jewett, for the record?
Yesterday afternoon, and people that helped me are right here.
That's
they
right.
can attest to the
You're under oath, I believe you. Proceed.
Okay. I agonized about it, but I did. Okay. I want to read a couple of things from two letters that I got into the record, two letters that I've written. I was going to read the whole thing, but I believe I can make something positive out of what's happening here. At the first letter that I wrote on October the 25th to Deputy Attorney General Lisa Hicks, October 25th of this year, or 26th of this year, and as I understand it, she is the Attorney General's direct supervisor, the Attorney General's who sit here with you. And I just said, Dear Ms. Hicks, Thomas, for the past 4 years I've been involved in attempting to get a permit from the VMRC. What should have been a simple procedure turned contentious and confrontational when VMRC staff members put their personal desires against the lawfully mandated procedure, and City of Pocosin civil servants did the same. At the request of the VMRC, your office brought a contempt hearing, and I am to be jailed for 6 months starting the 1st of December. Here's what is important, is what I'm trying to do. I maybe shouldn't even have read that part, but here's what I've said that I think I want to have said here that I wish you'd hear. If the process that led to the present situation was not and is not legal and constitutional, then incarcerating me would be a disservice for the Office of the Attorney General as well as to me. That's one of them. The other one is to Commissioner Bowman, and it's on the same date. And it says, at the request of your agency, I am to be incarcerated for 6 months starting December the 1st. If the process that led to the present situation was not and is not honest and legal, then incarcerating me would be a disservice to the VMRC as well as to me. I truthfully believe that. I was prepared, and I have a lot of papers. I was prepared to get up here fairly contentionally and fairly confrontationally and prove to you that the process wasn't followed, prove to you that I was lied to, and prove to you that the law was broken in way back in 2005 in bringing the initial order against me. I think probably that's you either already know it or you don't want to know it. What I'd rather do is to tell you what it is that I'm asking for. All I'm asking for is that each point, each item that you say I'm either in noncompliance about, or you say things like I have to move the boats. Each item be fairly and individually adjudicated with the process that I believe I should have had from the very beginning. And that is starting with your staff, where they make recommendations, they tell me what they are, we have an informal conference about it, I tell them what I want and why, they tell me what they want and why, we bring it into here, your staff makes recommendations, I get an opportunity to speak, each of you gets an opportunity to say something to me, and you make the decisions. If it's done that way, I will stop being defiant. Thank you.
Mr. Jewett, before you go, a couple of points. Number one, everything that you've been asked for during the course of your application process has been in accordance with the laws of the Commonwealth of Virginia. Let me finish. You've had your say. I shall have mine. We have afforded you ample opportunity to comply with what's contained in the Code of Virginia. Those are laws that the Marine Resources Commission did not write. The General Assembly of the Commonwealth of Virginia wrote those laws, and we simply are the executors of those laws. At every turn, we've asked you for additional information or given you an opportunity to comply. There's been some type of problem with you complying with the established law. I had presumed that you had come here today to ask for, in some way, the commission could assist you in us arriving at a mutual conclusion or a mutual decision on this matter to affect what we all were looking for to begin with, and that is to ensure that this structure did not imperil the lives of those that placed their feet upon it. I'm not sure right now what you've asked for, other than a trial de novo of every article that is contained within the conditions of your permit. And those conditions basically are set out by what's allowable under the Code of Virginia. I just want you to know that you would like for the commission to believe that the commission is at fault for the position that you're in today. I may be wrong, but the commission, let me finish, the commission did not ask for your incarceration. Basically what happened was, after time and time and time again of us attempting to have you come into compliance with the laws of the Commonwealth, in the best interest of all involved in the Commonwealth, maybe you don't see it that way, but you failed to comply. And we don't get any pleasure whatsoever in asking the Attorney General's office to go before a circuit court judge and ask that someone be punished for lack of compliance. But when it gets to the point where we've done all that we possibly can do, that's where we find ourselves. And that's where we are today. Did you have someone else that wanted to speak today?
I'd like to rebut a couple of things you just said.
Sure.
Okay. Number one, there are people in here who were in court when the judge found me in contempt of court.
Mm-hmm.
The judge looked at your attorney, and he said, "What would you like to have happen?" Your attorney's exact words were, "We want him incarcerated." So your statement a few minutes ago that you didn't want me incarcerated is not the statement that your attorney made to the judge.
Let me correct you. This agency did not ask for you to be incarcerated. This agency turns our legal affairs over to the Attorney General's office to ensure compliance with the laws of the Commonwealth. It is then their discretion as to how those laws or how to affect the compliance of those laws takes place in a court of law.
The other thing that, I kind of, in a way, I guess I regret, because it won't get into the record right now, but I came here with something that would take less than 5 minutes to prove to you absolutely that the law was broken. that I can prove it within 5 minutes. I have a copy for everyone that the law was broken when you and it wasn't broken. I'm not saying the commission broke the law. I'm saying the law was broken by the process with which your staff brought it, and that the attorney has been aware of it for years, and I have the proof.
Mr. Jewett, those considerations are before the circuit court at the present time, and it would be inappropriate for me to comment or you to allow to be commenting on them at this forum. That forum is in circuit court, not before the commission. What is before the commission today is you have the opportunity to satisfy certain parameters contained within a court order prior to December 1st to basically purge yourself of that contempt. You have been afforded that opportunity, and I haven't seen where you've made any strides whatsoever to do that. That's the opportunity that you were afforded today.
I thought I got engineering. I thought you had it. I thought you had some.
I don't recall you commenting for the most part on most of that. However, you also had some individuals that have spoken on your behalf today that have been fairly persuasive in discussing it. I think it may be in your best interest not to tell you what to do, but they're here on your behalf. Would you like them to speak?
Certainly I'd like them to speak. But you said you just finished saying I didn't comply at all. I just brought you engineering today, and I apologize that it's so late, but it's the best I could get. That's all I had to do. Yes, I'd like them to speak.
Thank you very much. Who's next? Like to speak? Yes, sir. Good afternoon, sir. You don't need to be sworn, sir. It was basically factual matters and not.
Okay. Thank you very much. Good afternoon. I do appreciate the time, opportunity to come here in front of you. My name is Tom Marie, and I live at 5 Carmines Court in Pocosin. I am a member of the Pocosin City Council, and I am here to speak on behalf of one of my constituents, Mr. Mike Jewett, who's just up here. What I would like to see is that Mr. Jewett be allowed to obtain the necessary permits to repair Watkins Dock, and as you probably know, the city is willing to go forward with that process if we can get some favorable indications here. I believe that condemning the dock is excessive right now. I have reviewed the VMRC records and see that the VMRC called the dock a hazard to navigation based largely on statements made by the City of Pocosin engineer prior to July of 2005.
Yes, sir.
That is throughout the records. However, in my opinion, these statements were superseded to a large extent when on July 22nd, 2005, Mr. Cornwell issued a letter in which he said that Watkins Dock was not in imminent danger of collapse. Mr. Cornwell is a practicing Virginia professional engineer in the area of structural engineering, and his letter did bear a professional engineer seal. The VMRC received this letter on August 23rd, 2005, and yet, based on earlier statements, is continuing to maintain that Watkins Dock may be in imminent danger of collapse. As recently as August of 2007, and I believe you got a letter that he wrote yesterday, Mr. Cornwell has stated that in his opinion, the existing pier and building do not represent a reasonable hazard to navigation at this time and are a safe mooring point and are safe for the mooring of vessels using the pier. And Mr. Cornwell goes on to state that accordingly, continued maintenance work will ensure that the facility does not become a hazard in the future. I think that, well, finally, on the matter of structural adequacy, I note and support the Pocosin City Manager's letter that was sent to you dated November 15th, 2007, in which he says the city will issue a building permit to Mr. Jewett if the VMRC removes its objections. And this is based, as you may have recall, on contacts with George Cornwell, and it does really represent a change in the city's position from what the city engineer said before to now the city is recognizing this professional engineer who is a practicing structural engineer and his opinion. And so what I would ask is that since the city has changed its position regarding the structural adequacy of Watkins Dock, I would ask that the VMRC also consider changing the position that you have based on that change in facts. There is another matter which the VMRC earlier had required to be resolved before considering any application, and that was that matter was an issue with an adjacent property owner concerning access to Watkins Dock. First, I think this is largely a local land use issue that the city of Pocosin needs to get straightened out, and our city manager is working to get that straightened out. But putting that aside, I have to note that Watkins Dock has been accessed freely from North Lawson Road since it was built in 1944, and also North Lawson Road has been deeded for public use since 1929. So I think I think the primary issue really comes not so much the land use question, but really comes back to the structural adequacy, and I would hope that there can be a continuing dialogue here and a further fleshing out of the structural engineer's report and considerations so that this can be favorably resolved. And I would like to thank you all for your patience and your service to the state. And I recognize that sometimes public service is challenging, but I do appreciate it. So thank you very much.
Councilman, I had one question for you,
sir.
If I could. You had made the comment that the city had changed its position on the structural soundness based on, you know, newly received information from the engineer. Has the city also basically now, are they in a position where they're not just dealing with the structural soundness but are in support of this project in totality?
I believe yes, that is in fact the case. The mayor is certainly on board. There is another city councilman here. Our city manager is here. The mayor has sent a letter saying it. We in Pocosin have very much of a waterman's history, and there are fewer and fewer places for the watermen to be able to bring their catch in and facilities for them to use with the development that's been going on and the escalating land prices, especially in Pocosin. And so, really, that I think is the reason why I and many of my fellow council members do support saving Watkins Dock so that it can continue to be used in the future for the watermen, because they're diminishing resources for them. And I have had conversations with Mr. Jewett, and I believe that very much to be his intent. So,
thank you. Any questions, Councilman? Mr. Fox.
Since part of the problem started back with, the city engineer of Pocosin saying that the dock was not sound, is that same individual still employed? Or
Yes, he is.
There a person in that job who would be willing to give us a statement that the dock is now sound?
You'd have to ask the city manager that. We do have the city manager, I'm sure, will be glad to speak to that point.
Okay. Further questions? Thank you, sir,
very much.
Who's next? Come forward, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Could you state your name for the record, please?
Charles W. Burgess, Jr., City Manager, City of Pocosin. Mr.
Burgess,
Bowman, other commissioners, thank you for this opportunity to speak with you this afternoon. I guess a couple of things. As early as this morning, I was in receipt of some information from Mr. Cornwell, the structural engineer that Mr. Jewett is using on the Watkins Dock situation. And he has made statements that seem to address the issue as far as the structural integrity of the structure as it exists today, as well as submitting some information that we can use for the issuance of building permits for the sleeving, reinforcing of the existing piling structure of the dock. My building official is prepared to issue such building permit today. The work that would be performed would be just in the area of the piling reinforcement and resleeving reconstruction. It would not address anything above the deck level. And all this is predicated, of course, on whether or not ultimately the court and this commission allows the dock to remain. Historically, the city has a lot of interest, great interest as far as the historical significance of this structure, irregardless of ownership. As far as a specific question earlier, which escapes me at the moment, if someone could refresh my memory.
Mr. Fox, do you want to repeat it, or it doesn't matter?
My question was, since we started with the city engineer's report that the dock was unsound.
Yes, sir.
Is that city engineer or whoever's in that job now willing to come up with a statement that the dock is sound?
What I would do, sir, is that city engineer that made that assertion is a civil engineer by training, not a structural engineer. And to refresh everyone's memory, the city at one point in time, prior to Mr. Jewett even consideration of ownership of the facility, the city had a structural firm come out and do a report on behalf of the city. I would be prepared on behalf of the city once again to have an independent structural engineer come behind and make sure that the information that we have in hand now for Mr. Cornwell is verifiable. And we would do that, and as well as work with Mr. Cornwell on an actual plan for numbers of pilings and systematic approach to that work, as well as time framing that work such that it's not a situation that drags out over a long period of time. And as far as uses of the pier, let me go ahead and hit one other point here.
Go ahead.
As far as uses of the pier itself, I'm small town government. I'm also the zoning administrator, so I can speak.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I can list a couple more for you as well.
Probably better not.
That's true. I also am the bottom line on land use. And, of course, although this facility is located over state bottoms, once it's permitted at this level, then the city does inflict or enforce its zoning ordinance as far as the uses of the facility. And we would do that. We would look at the traditional uses of the facility, those non-conforming uses, those uses of the watermen and such. And any new uses would have to fall under current zoning of the property. So there would not be a general expansion of uses of that property beyond what you have traditionally seen there. So I guess what I'm asking today, should this matter move to a scenario where the dock remains, that the city is prepared to take the lead as far as double-checking on the structural integrity, as far as, for the record, as far as what has been submitted by Mr. Cornwell and his associates, as well as, the future and existing uses of the facility.
Thank you. Dr. McConaughey, did you have a question or did he satisfy that?
Actually, he just answered it.
Thanks.
I was going to ask about numbers of pilings and timing.
Mr. Schick.
I don't have the previous letter from Mr. Cornwell, but this one here that I have alludes to the safety of the building. It says the building is not in danger of collapse any more than any other wood frame building throughout the area. And he really... I mean, it kind of says it's not in danger, but, and yes. The next he goes on to say it doesn't present a hazard to navigation, basically due that it survived the two storms. Mm-hmm. Well, again, he's not coming out and saying this building
Correct.
Is safe.
Correct.
And what I'm asking you, you've had discussions with him, is he prepared to say, with the piling repair done this way, and at this point in time, even if the pilings aren't repaired, that this building is safe and not.
I think, yes, sir, Mr. Schick, Commissioner Schick, from the perspective of the piling structure, I think he's prepared to say the pilings will be sufficient to support the decking. As far as the, that part of the structure above the decking, personally, professionally, I think that, while we're in there looking at, inspecting the piling reconstruction, we should also use our property maintenance code and look at the structural integrity of the above deck part of the structure. And one of the general public misconceptions is if you go in and condemn a structure, that does not mean it comes down. It means it needs to be changed in some way so that it is habitable once again. There may be or there may not be some scenarios as far as the structures above the deck that I think Mr. Cornwell is alluding to that you know, may or may not need some attention. But in my conversations with Mr. Cornwell, I believe that he feels strongly that by a systematic approach and evaluation and establishment of replacement and reinforcement of pilings at strategic times and doing weight loads and live loads on the facility to determine, you know, what the order needs to be for the work to be done, that I feel comfortable that he has a good handle on that.
Thank you. Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to follow up, and this really gets at the issues that Mr. Schick was mentioning with respect to satisfying the order, that is the original order by which this process was initiated, I guess over 2 years ago. There were several ways in which we could satisfy, or the applicant rather, could satisfy the order. One was to provide the report of a licensed structural engineer that the facility is structurally sound, or second, to provide a plan certified by a structural engineer that outlines what can be done to render the facility structurally sound. And that's really obviously the crux of the issue here today. And to the extent that this letter may not satisfy literally be a finding that the facility is structurally sound, that takes us to the issue of a plan. And this letter doesn't represent a comprehensive plan to get us into compliance. It does seem to me, however, to be a substantial step in that direction. It's got some schematics, some typical cross sections of how these pilings might be reinforced and made sound. But a critical component is ascertaining the scope of the work that needs to be done to make it sound. And from what you said earlier, it sounds like the city is willing to work in conjunction with the structural engineer to ascertain exactly what needs to be done to make it sound. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, sir. That's a fair statement. We're willing willing to and able to take on that responsibility if the structure can remain. If it is determined the structure can remain, the city will take the lead and take the responsibility for the systematic approach. We would keep the Virginia Marine Resource Commission's appropriate staff informed of that progress, as well as, you know, provide status reports as desired or as requested.
And just to get back to the zoning issue, the permits that you issue would be based on, would they be conditioned on a certain use of the building? That is to say, our understanding historically is that this has been used as a seafood offloading facility. Would that be part of the conditions of the permit?
Yes, sir, it would be. And, you know, I guess depending upon what particular activities take place on the deck area of the dock would determine, you know, the structure, what the structural integrity or the live loads need to be. So it could be ultimately that activities are permitted or not permitted on the dock as it relates to, you know, what the structural engineers say the facility can tolerate.
Thank you.
Mr. Tankard.
Additionally, the third part of the order states that there may be no residential or overnight occupation of the facility, and only vessels owned by and registered to Michael Jewett and or Mrs. Lori Jewett may be moored at the facility. Would the City of Pocosin also be willing to take the lead on this issue as well?
As far as the living aspect on the pier, that would clearly be a zoning issue. That would clearly be a zoning ordinance issue. As far as any other watercraft being moored to the facility, I think it would be counterproductive on a historical basis if we said that other vessels could not be moored there, i.e. watermen's boats, that want to use that facility for those activities. I hope I'm saying that correctly, but that would, you know, I could, but we would definitely take the lead on whatever enforcement side we need to take and take that off the commission's plate.
Mr. Fox?
As I understand it, the City of Pocosin wants to see the pier remain.
That's correct.
And my question to you is the City of Pocosin prepared that if Mr. Jewell fails to make the pier sound, is the City of Pocosin willing to take steps to make the pier sound
using its resources.
I believe we would have to use our resources through our property maintenance code. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Further questions? Thank you so very much for your comments.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Do you have anyone? Yes, sir. Councilman? Good afternoon, sir.
I'm Kerry Freeman. I live at 6 Lafayette, Pocosin, and I'm also a member of City Council. We do not believe at this time that Watkins Dock is a hazard to navigation. We would like to see it stand. It's a historic landmark in the city of Pocosin. It also allows access, well, in fact, what's becoming very limited access to commercial fishermen in the town. So we'd like to ask you to let us keep Watkins Dock, and we will, as Mr. Marie and or Councilman Marie and the city manager stated, we will take charge of that, and we will see that it's done correctly. Thanks.
Yes, Mr. Schick.
Now, as a member of the council, you know, I appreciate the city coming up and stating this. But we haven't heard from Mr. Jewett that he's prepared to do these things. Now, if we decide that, okay, yes, you know, the information's there, how are you going to pursue enforcing, you know, the situation from your perspective as a city councilman?
Well, as City Manager Burgess said, we have various resources, including police power, to do these kinds of things. We do have the court order, and I'm not sure that it would just be totally removed, but it, you know, the going to jail date pushed forward, and then if it didn't comply or there was no compliance, I believe it'd still be in contempt. That's one thing that comes to mind. But I believe just within the normal police power of the city that we could enforce the provisions if they fail, just as we do the other city business.
We would hope that voluntary compliance will work.
Yes, sir. That would definitely be our hope and our first choice.
Okay. Further questions? Thank you, Councilman. Appreciate your time. Matters before the commission for any discussion that may occur. Mr. Robbins. I'm sorry. Mr. Schick, do you have your hand up?
I'll
defer to
him.
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Seems to me that the we have the Cornwell letter in front of us today for our consideration, among other things, in addition to the testimony we've heard. I'd first like to say I appreciate very much the city's involvement and representation here today from Pocosin, but it seems that the Cornwell letter itself that we have before us falls short of satisfying the original commission's order in that it doesn't represent a comprehensive plan to make the facility structurally sound, or a finding from a structural engineer that the facility is structurally sound. I think it falls short of that. It says the building is not in danger of collapse. However, I don't think it goes so far as to say that the structure is safe and ready for commercial use. To that end, I think that the city is prepared to play a very critical role in attempting to facilitate compliance with our original order. I said at the outset of this process over 2 years ago that I wanted to see the applicant succeed. I'm familiar with the history of the dock and its importance to the commercial fishing community in Pocosin. And it seems to me that the city is willing to play a very important role in facilitating compliance. Given that, I would offer a motion that the commission find that the following actions would satisfy this commission's original order. One, the removal of unauthorized construction as per the original order. Two, the completion of a plan with a timetable to make the facility structurally sound for use as a seafood offloading facility, certified by a structural engineer by December 1st, with construction to be completed within 6 months. Three, only boats owned by Mr. and Mrs. Michael Jewett may be moored at the facility until construction is complete or the structure is certified to be structurally sound. Four, use of the facility shall be limited to its recognized historical use as a seafood offloading facility. I think if these are completed, the commission would consider its order to have been substantially complied with.
I may have missed. Was there a time frame involved as far as getting this these guarantees together?
There were 2 days. One was December 1st for the plan, and I think we've already heard from the city of Pecosin that they're in discussion with the structural engineer to ascertain how many pilings need to be replaced to make the structure sound. So I think that would be possible. That would be necessary in order to satisfy the court's deadline as well.
And to clarify the city manager's concern, in conjunction with your motion, once it's declared structurally sound, the boats can be there. But our concern is that the boats not be there until it's determined that it's not a hazard to those utilizing the facility.
That's right, Mr. Chairman. And the purpose there, going back to the original order, the purpose of not allowing the other boats to tie up there was that it was being used as a commercial facility. And the record at that time indicated the structure was unsound. So in order to be consistent, I think that should be prohibited until such time that the structure is either determined to be safe or the construction is completed.
There's a motion on the table. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Schick.
And
further discussion by Mr. Schick.
At the onset of this, the only thing that we wanted to do was to have a safe facility out there for the public to use and be near. And I believe this is just reiterating what we've been saying all along. I would hope that that Mr. Jewett will use this as an opportunity to do what he wants instead of cutting his nose off to spite us and hurt himself and the folks that want to use this facility. Because that's the important thing, is the resource needs to be used, and it needs to be used in a safe manner, and that's what we want up here within the laws of the Commonwealth of Virginia. So this is nothing new. This is all reiterating what we've been saying all along, and hopefully this will be the road to success for everybody.
Further discussion? Mr. Fox.
I just want to comment that I'm quite comforted by the involvement of the city of Pecosin in this whole activity, and I know that we will be looking to them to see that this is becomes a safe place and an asset to the community.
Further discussion? I agree with you. I think the city has stepped up to the plate admirably for one of their constituents. As I said from the outset, as you did, all we wanted was from Mr. Jewett is what we ask from every applicant, and that's to adhere to the laws of the Commonwealth of Virginia. When that does not occur, things become problematic. Before we vote on the motion, I'd like to ask counsel if they have any questions as to the motion.
Yeah, just one thing. You established a December 1st deadline for coming up with a plan, which I assume that the city would assist in submitting it to whom by December 2nd, presumably.
Well, a question for counsel. Does that have to be submitted to the court as well as the commission in order to satisfy the court order?
Eventually, it would go to the court by way of communication from the assigned counsel to this case. But it's first it has to come to satisfy the commission.
I would say to the commissioner, December 1st.
And I take it then that you're delegating the authority to the commissioner to determine whether it is a substantial compliance with what the commission and the commissioner believes is expecting.
That's correct. I think he would determine if it satisfies the motion. Thank you.
Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much. Who's next on public comments? Those are items that are not on the agenda but would like to be addressed by members of the public. Yes, sir. Come forward, please. Good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
Fine.
I got a trivial matter compared to what these people just went through.
If it's important to you, it's important to us. State
Thanks.
Your name, please, sir.
My name is Tim McCulloch. I live in Yorktown, Virginia.
Good to have you here, sir.
On the agenda today was supposed to be a violation hearing for Greg Garrett, number 0724.
Yes, sir. I had the letter.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yes, sir.
So I'm here to request that since I cannot participate on the 18th, that be continued until the January meeting.
We
looks like.
Yeah, he's next door. Mr. Grab, do you have any comment or anything on this matter?
No, I've got extra copies of Mr. McCullough's letter if you want.
Is there something very important that would preclude you from coming to the December the 18th meeting?
Every year, December 15th, my family and I go on Christmas vacation for the rest of the month of December, so I'd have to come back just for that hearing.
Can you explain to the commission why you feel like you have a need to be involved in this specific matter for the commission's benefit?
Sure. We are neighbors, and for the past couple of years, by permit and at my expense, I've put quite a bit into a dredging operation behind my house. And this violation is in direct conflict with what I've done by permit. And so it's important to me that when his matter is heard, that I'm here to offer my version of whatever it is he may be bringing forth.
Okay. We've afforded continuances before. Council advises basically that if this is a matter that ends up under the parameters of action by the Attorney General, as many people on record possible would be beneficial to the case. So the matter's before the commission for action. As far as the request for continuing that matter.
I move that we go along with the request to move it to the January meeting.
For a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Tankard. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Mr. Grab, will you notify all the parties involved that it's been continued to January commission meeting? Thank you. Thank you, Mr. McCullough.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy your vacation. Thank you. Yes, sir.
James Furman. I came here about getting my permit back for dredging the James River.
Okay. What happened? Raise your right hand. You solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Okay, let me hear from the officer first, then I'll hear from you. Mr. Bichelle. And that's within rules of court.
Yes, sir.
Commonwealth always goes first. You go second. Commonwealth goes third. You can have a seat. Raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do, sir.
State your name, please.
NPO Christopher Bichelle with Virginia Marine Police.
Okay. Proceed.
Sir, this offense occurred on November 1st of this year. While underway in the James River, I observed a vessel in the area of Wreck Shoal Sanctuary on the Isle of Wight side near Leader Airstrip, preferably at the beach house itself, which is a corner of the Wreck Shoal Sanctuary. I observed that vessel in surveillance for approximately 25 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. After the 25-minute period, while the vessel was taking oysters commercially from the Wreck Shoal Sanctuary by the use of hand scrape, I ran up to the vessel, took a latitude and longitude, and called it into the engineering department with the Virginia Marine Resources Commission. At that time, I verified that the vessel was located in the Wreck Shoal Sanctuary. At the time that I took the latitude and longitude, my vessel was located approximately 135 feet. Mr. Furman's vessel was located an additional 25 feet, approximately. Mr. Furman was issued a summons for work in the Wreck Shoal Sanctuary. His hand scrape was seized, as well as his hand scrape permit, which he is here asking the commission for back today.
And the revocation or seizure of both are covered under regulation. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Has the matter gone to court?
Yes, sir, it has.
Can you tell me what the adjudication of the court was?
Holloway County Judge Edwards was a $300 fine, all of which was suspended on $68 court cost.
Okay, has it been appealed? Is appeal time up?
His appeal time is up, sir.
Okay. Anything aggravating or mitigating? Any problem with Mr. Furman?
No, sir, other than the fact that at the time of the actual stop, Mr. Furman stated that he wasn't aware that he was in it, and if he had known, he certainly would not have been there.
Okay. He was cooperative with you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else?
No, sir.
Any questions from the commission? Mr. Furman, can you hear me? I understand from your wife you're a little difficult in hearing. Can you hear me okay? Okay. You come forward and tell your side.
He said it was in, I didn't know it was even close to it.
When's the last time you had a violation?
I don't know.
That long ago?
Yes.
Do you know now to stay out of the sanctuary?
Yeah, now that I know where the line is, I didn't know where the actual line was.
Okay, you know where it is now?
Yes, sir. I sure do.
The matter's before the Commission for Action. He's asking for his permit and his equipment back. I'm sorry. Mr. Bowden.
It's kind of unusual position, really.
That's why you're on the commission as the working waterman.
Yeah. I am a working waterman. Not as much as I like to work, because I like to be working today instead of being here. But I understand where he's coming from. A lot of sanctuaries are not very well marked. I don't know if that's the case with this one or not. Could Mr. Wesson address that? Is it a well-marked sanctuary?
It was marked enough for the judge to convict him. That's the main thing in this one. And they can ask the officers. We're out there every day. Or should I say they, Freudian slip.
I want you to understand that we take the sanctuary very seriously.
Yes, sir.
You know, we're not having great success in restoring the oysters, and you know that by being an oysterman that it's getting bad. In a case like this, he's already lost a month. I would say we could give it back to him starting next Monday, would be my suggestion. And I want you to realize that if you get caught again, we're very serious about what we would do.
You won't have to worry about get caught again. I stayed out there 9 years. I'll be nine more before I go back.
Yeah, I just want you to understand, you know, we give you a break on this one. It's because you weren't aware. But you need to make yourself aware.
So the motion is...
That would be my motion. Let him start back as of Monday.
Monday. Okay.
That would be December the 3rd, won't it?
Yeah, and I would say, to be fair, because a question will come up, he can pick up his scrape, pick up his permit by Friday afternoon after closing.
Yes,
after,
he can, but he cannot use it until Monday.
Let's go down to the boat hall and pick it up, the permit.
If it passes. Second to the motion?
Second.
Second by Mr. Holland. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Thank you, Mr. Furman. Are anyone else in here with similar cases that we can dispose of? Anyone else here to ask for their permit equipment back? Who's next on public comment? Yes, sir. Good afternoon, Mr. Jenkins.
How you doing?
Doing just fine, sir.
Absolutely. Thank you, Commissioner Goldman, members of the board. I'll be very brief and try not to hit you with anything heavy, as you have been dealing with all afternoon. Well, thank you for the permit to that you issued last month for me to check the Yokomic and Cone River baleen oyster balls. The reason I asked for the permit was to see if the old oysters left there several years ago were still living. Governor Houghton had called me earlier after finding the disappointing results of the Lower Rappahannock River and asked me what the watermen were going to do during the winter months. And I told him that some had moved their boats down the James River, but a six-hour drive and a round trip, the price of gas, many of them would have much to look forward to. During our conversation, I mentioned the fact that the old oysters left in the Cone and Yokomica might be dying, as well as those ones that was lost in the Lower Rappahannock. So the day that we went out to check the oyster balls, Governor Houghton came with us and spent the whole day on the boat going over the different balls that we checked. We found most of them, oysters still living, the large, old oysters. Several balls we found, a lot of them had just recently died. And particularly in Palmer's Cove in one place in the Cone. And we felt that for the watermen in that area, that if they could go hand-tonging for the month of December and January. That would help them pay maybe the electric bills or heating bills. They're not, they probably wouldn't be over, in both rivers, there probably wouldn't be over 20, 25 watermen working with hand-tongs. And it's a number of balls in both of those rivers. Probably a harvest of maybe 3 or 4 bushels. The 3 or 4 bushel oysters doesn't seem like a whole lot. But they're nice oysters, and we felt like it was a pity for them to stay there and possibly die this summer with the traffic conditions in that area. And we would just like consider to, I guess it would be in form of emergency regulation to open it for hand tonging for December and January, if you would incline to do so.
Okay. Let me do this. I promise Governor Holton, who did write me, that I would read his letter to me into the record, okay. And I'll do so at this time. Dear Steve, as you know, Doug Jenkins is asking the commission to permit some of the local watermen to harvest a few oysters by hand tong in the Ocamico and Cone Rivers. I went with Doug when he inspected several oyster rocks in the rivers on November 13th, pursuant to permission you had given him. It is clear that there are a number of large oysters, probably 4 or 5 years old, or some on some of these rocks. The fact that there are also a number of dead oysters of the same size indicates to me that the living oysters will probably also die. I therefore concur with Doug's request. Better to let those watermen harvest than just go to waste. Regards, the Honorable Linwood Holton. As I promised, I would read that in time. Anyone have any questions of Mr. Jenkins? Let me ask staff to comment if they would, Doug, at the present time. Jack, do you or Dr. Weston want to respond if we could?
As you're all aware, we went through a year process of Blue Ribbon Orchard Panel to try to avoid making some of these mid-year decisions. Was one of the big goals of it. And the tributaries of the Potomac are one of the areas that are scheduled to be in a rotation, and where one river will be open a year for the next 3 years, and we had hoped that we would run this trying this system to see if it does any better than what we've been doing. If you were to open this area, it would just be taken away from it from next year. There's no reason. These oysters in this river are not under the disease pressure that down in the lower bay is under. It's low salinity. It's higher than normal this year, but basically that's just contributed to better growth, and they don't seem to have a high disease amount, and there's not really not that many boxes. I mean, oysters die from a lot of things besides disease, and we've had a lot of bad water this year. I mean, so it's no telling on one bar or the other bar what the reason for mortality is, but it's probably not disease here. So, I mean, we would like to stick with the plan that we have of rotating these areas. We have seed that's coming on in both these rivers for next year. Had a pretty successful spattle and shell program, and we have wild seed in these rivers, and don't really want people scratching on those right now, because especially the spattle and shell, they're very small. We didn't even monitor them this year, because every time you put any kind of apparatus on them right now, you're killing them, and it's just, it is not a good year for oysters among all the years that are not good, and this year is especially not good. So there's really no way you can go search around and find oysters that are in very good shape that you can hope to eke out some time for. It's just not a very good time for oysters right now.
Any questions, Dr. Weston? Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jim, is this area that Doug's speaking of scheduled to be open next year?
Or? One of the rivers will. I mean, and then, we won't have both rivers, but we'll have, and then the following year, that, and then we'll come back to the river before, and we'll be putting seed in the rivers. As we leave them, we'll put seed back in that river.
So they're already in line. They're already in line for a rotational opening.
That's right.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions, Mr. Bowden?
It's two river systems that's going to be open at separate times. Have you already chosen which one's going to be open first, or that's going to be something on densities when you before you?
It's going to be of the seed. Which ones are the biggest but between the two rivers to be ready for next year.
So it's not predetermined now?
Not predetermined, no.
Further questions? Mr. Schick.
Which river is open this year?
Nomni.
The Nomni, right.
Further questions? Dr. Wesson? Anyone in the audience, pro or con, want to be heard on this matter? Yes, sir. Yes, Doug.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Again, with the Nomni was open for hand dredging, as was the Lower Rappahannock and the James. And the men worked there for about 2 days, and the catch was so that they, most of them left. The small arches in the, that Jim is referring to in the Cone and the Old Comical will not be big enough to harvest next year, and one of those rivers will be open for hand dredging. What we're asking is for hand tonguing, and tonguing is not going to damage the seed that's there. It's fat on shell. We looked at some of those, and count on them is around 25 to 30 small arches on a shell. And if some of them were damaged, that would help the others to grow out, because that's going to be a very hard arch to market, being a cluster of them. So what we asked for was hand tonguing, and the amount of effort and the amount of strain on those balls, these balls have been closed for 12, 15 years. I just don't think that's good management. I think hand tonguing would really help more than it would do harm to these balls for that period of time. And plus the fact that the watermen in that area, which is I've already addressed, they don't have any place to work. I mean, there's nothing there for them. I mean, they tried going to the Rappahannock, and that didn't turn out as was to be expected. And James River is a long distance for them to follow. So under those conditions, I think it would be wise to, rather than let them arches go by another someone and have the some of the large ones to die, it's going to be it's going to be more to gain than it is to be lost. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to be heard? Public comment? Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Timmy Saunders, and I'm just here on behalf of the Flounder Bycatch to see if there's any way that we could open it back up sometime.
Is this the appropriate time we're going to discuss that, Jack?
Yes, sir.
Okay, go ahead, Tim.
I've just been a recent victim. I've come in. I wasn't noticed that the fisheries had closed the bycatch law, and we kind of depend on that with fuel prices to rise and stuff. We're kind of dependent on that to help us get through the tougher times.
Okay.
And just wish that it would be back opened up.
Okay. We've discussed it before you got here. Jack, who wants to respond to his request? Joe? And also, you'll be responding to Mr. Robbins' request that came up earlier today.
Yes, sir.
Very foresightful.
Yes, sir. We just recently, a few weeks back, closed down the directed fishery for fourth quarter. At that time, it was projected we were going to catch up our quota. Now that we've gotten most of our reports in, what we do know is, depending on how you look at the numbers, we have one of two remaining poundages. If you include a projection of what will be remaining in the Chesapeake Bay allocation, we possibly have about 153,000 pounds remaining now in our flounder quota for 2007. If you eliminate that and you just go by what we allocate to the EEZ fishery alone, 33,000 pounds. Either way, staff is prepared to recommend that we should look at a 10% bycatch rule for the remaining part of this year.
You have an emergency regulation drafted?
I'll pass it up to you.
Okay. Questions? Thank you. As you are all well aware, I particularly frown on emergency regulations. I don't like to make law in 10 minutes or less. However, I think this is a situation that specifically is covered under the Code of Virginia, under economic situations and allowability. I do have one question, Joe. Can we manage that close enough to ensure that we don't have a problem with going over or in any way causing a problem to our established quota? Well, how closely?
Okay, well...
No certainty in it, I know.
There's no certainty, and of course, there's a projection which allows us to get that 153,000 pounds. But based on our knowledge of the fishery and what has happened in previous years, we feel like it's a fairly safe amount of quota left over that the 10% should not put us at risk.
Okay. Anyone in the audience, this is not a public hearing on an emergency regulation, but I do honor public if they want to comment on emergency regulation this time, pro or con. If not, the matter's before the commission.
Mr. Chairman.
Now, before we go any further, there's something else we need to decide. The December meeting would be normally, if held as we normally plan it, on like the 18th. 18th, Jack? Is that it? 18th of December. Emergency regulations are good for 30 days, so make sure that we consider that. Joe?
Sir, on the one for you, we have it effective as of tomorrow on the 28th. And
that should take care of the time frame?
Yeah, we will be able to have the public hearing at the December meeting within the 30 days.
Okay. Matters before the commission for action. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move to approve the staff's proposed amendment to the flounder regulations and quota.
For second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Holland. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Tim, wherever you are. Anyone else in public comment? Next item on the agenda is public hearing proposed amendments pertaining to TAWTOG for VAC 20-960. Joe.
Good afternoon, Commissioner, members of the board.
Good afternoon, sir.
I have two additional public comments that I'd like to. There we go.